You also can't applaud for yourself after you pass the motion.
I'm sorry? What'd you say?
I said you also can't continue to applaud for yourselves every time you pass one of those motions.
Amen.
Well, I like Brian here.
Who's that? I'm sorry. Brian?
Yes.
So
I still haven't seen the exact language of the motion that passed, but I'm just kind of troubled procedurally. You know, we take our local budget, or at least we did here, pretty seriously. We reviewed it at a board meeting before we put it to a vote. We took it through several committee meetings. We had back and forth with management on some concerns specific local station board members had. And then the board imposes an obligation that's out of left field. That had never been a topic of discussion before. And I have to say, here at KPFA, there is some concern that as the station with the most cash in the bank, we're going to wind up being the network piggy bank if there's a fiscal crisis. And what people are saying is, why should we keep putting away surpluses if they're just going to take it at some point? And this kind of motion, which cuts into a surplus that we are having to cut jobs to achieve, lay people off, just goes down the wrong way. I mean, I know, I fully appreciate that the archives has to keep that tape from rotting. But it feels like this got rushed through. It feels like this is something we should have known was a need months before it came up on short notice at the national board meeting. And it also feels like we shouldn't keep using the local stations as safety valves for national expenses. In addition to the 20% levy, we're seeing our FSRN-related costs go up this year. We're getting deferments on our deferred disbursements of CPB money, which means we're subsidizing national costs with float on those funds. Now we're paying directly into the archives. Originally, we'd been told we were increasing our levy so that there'd be dedicated funding for the archives. We're also being told that the amount of our airtime that's used for national fundraising will go up to meet the archives' needs. So I want the archives funded. I want to be clear about that. But it really troubles me that we're going through this kind of sloppy, rushed process that just grabs cash from wherever it looks like we have it. As I understand it, the language of the resolution was stations are going to pay this out of their surpluses, but you pay it at the beginning of the year before you find out whether you have a surplus or not. We just had a $100,000 shortfall in our fund drive, and our budgeted surplus was $100,000. So, I don't know what to tell you. I would look at that $300,000 in unanticipated revenue that the national office got at the close of the financial year to cover an extraordinary cost like this.
Thanks, Brian. I'm out here.
You just made a friend of the CFO.
Thank you very much. If I could.
Sure.
You know, Dave, you have spoken on the need for looking at new ways of distributing our service over many years. And I have to say right now, I couldn't agree with you more. I think all your points are well taken, and it's now more than ever we need to look at different ways of moving forward. I have a practical proposal, and that would be how can we have a planful process where we aren't making last-minute decisions at a board meeting, $100,000. That's quite a bit.
Yeah.
And no one can countenance that.
Let me ask a question.
Well, let me finish.
Let him finish. Just a second.
Okay.
Let me finish. So my proposal would be that we need something like money set aside, as many organizations do, for research, for outreach, and for making grants. Before, I had sort of, resisted that idea. But I think that it's time to do it. It's time to look at ways in which we can, well, we all agree, look at new ways of moving Pacifica through what will be a difficult year, if not a difficult 5 years,
yep.
And that we look at the funding for it. I know that it'll be difficult politically, but I think that I think you mentioned having it come out of the national office. I think that might not be such a bad way to start.
It would certainly ease a lot of the dynamics that Brian's describing. If the national office said, we got some money, we're making it available for a planned process, and we're soliciting from, you know, stations proposals on most effective use of these funds and involve them as well in some of the final decision-making about the proposals that actually got funded, I think that would be very effective.
We do that with a national programming model. We solicit, you know, ideas for programs. We involve local stations. I think that the model works for what we're describing here, too, for the things, for distribution methodologies, for reviewing our services, our programming, whatever, and try to incentivize new,
yep,
relatively inexpensive ways to which to stay in touch with what other producers are doing. So I wonder if we could not move to have that done. And then that also could be a way in which folks that feel we have a project at the archives, we have a plan, we just need to know where we take it, you know. And that kind of group could also take up that task of saying, who has plans that can move this network forward and have a process in place by which those plans can be reviewed, looked at, and placed in the context of overall goals that the board may have established for the network. So,
Madam Chair?
Just a second. Are you through, Lonnie?
Yeah, I think it's time to really move ahead. I agree with you, Dave. Time to do something, and to a year from now it may be too late. So I'm thinking soon, and maybe we need to figure out how we could get such a group going.
Okay, Brian? Was that Brian?
That was Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, so I think the best way to start is for you to look at National's budget and give us a sense of, you know, what kind of funding could be available for a thing like this, and think about, because I do think that it's something that would come most efficiently from the National office as a proposal, both in terms of money and in terms of how an RFA, a request for proposals, would be structured, and then we could respond to it. And I'm sure, you know, if you want to put a call out for input on such a process, any number of us would be willing. But I think you guys can probably move it effectively, and I'll make myself available, and then maybe it could come through finance once. I mean, and I assume anybody else on the call can volunteer too. I have a guest here, so I'm going to take a point of privilege and excuse myself, but I'm available, and I'll try and get back on later. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Are you
Teresa? Talking?
Hi, yes. Lonnie, I don't remember when this came up. I don't remember you saying, hey, we should not do it this way. And I know you usually do protest, and we kind of ignore you. It goes in one ear and out the other. But I thought we had a resolution that we cannot spend a certain amount of money without it going through the Finance Committee. We certainly had one for contracts.
I'm not remembering. Say that again, Teresa.
We have a resolution that, like, unless if any contract that's above a certain amount cannot be passed without going through the Finance Committee, right?
Yeah, we do have a contracts policy, true.
All right, so this didn't count as a contracts policy.
Right, it didn't fall within that. It was just a budget increase.
Do we need a resolution that anything like this, any expenditure or program like this has to go through the Finance Committee?
I think the problem you have there is that even if you have a resolution that goes through the Finance Committee, the PNB as a body supersedes that. If the PNB votes as a body, it has incorporated the Finance Committee, unless you're going to say that the PNB can't consider something that the Finance Committee has, unless the Finance Committee has considered it first, and I don't think that you really want to say that.
But I think that what we did at the board meeting, passing this thing $125,000 with no one seeing it prior, I didn't hear the CFO say, no, this is not the way to pass something like this. I would have liked to have heard the CFO. I said something about it. I said, wait a minute, this is not ordinarily the way we do something. I would like to have been able to say...
Well, it is ordinarily the way we do things. We always wait until Sunday morning to pass resolutions that have built up over the course of a weekend. It may not be about finance, but that's the time which it's possible to get resolutions passed on short notice. It's a political tactic that's tried and true, and it's consistently practiced. And that's not just us. That's most organizations that hold large board meetings. I mean, you're trying to regulate a behavior.
But we could have said... But we can
the
have a
behavior is self-discipline. Don't pull political maneuvers.
Right, but just like the resolution that we cannot have a contract for above a certain amount without it going to the finance committee. Can't we have something like this? Like when we did Spanish.
Well, of course, but even if you have that policy, the PMB could take up a contract without it going to the coordinating committee first. It depends on how it arises. I mean, you know. Yes, we have delegated authority, but if the board if the governing body as a whole decides to act, you can't. I don't see how practically you can have an override that says that the body as a whole can't act unless its subcommittee acts first. That's the principle you're trying to put in place here, which is a kind of problematic, I think.
Well, I remember when we passed the Spanish language programming, this had been on the table for several months, and Lonnie is constantly saying, what is the financial impact? We did say that we cannot, in fact, here's something here, we cannot pass something without attaching a financial impact. Did we do this on this resolution?
The problem
they actually threw out and said, well, we're going to take this out of listener funds in listener income. That's what they said.
And I turned to somebody and I said,
"Did you talk to?" You're trying to policy your way out of a behavior, and you can't do it. In the end, people have to assert both discipline and principle.
But if we had a policy, I mean, I was in shock. If we had a policy, though, I could have at least said, "I'm sorry, everybody. We need to stop where we are. We cannot do this." Because we have a policy that says no.
Can I get on the stack?
Sure, if we're ready.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
There has been a stack. My apologies.
No problem. Were you through, Teresa?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your indulgence.
This is on the agenda. It's a policy issue. Okay, Baruti?
Yeah, I just want to say that I think that if... You know, we feel a policy should be put in place, regardless if people ignore it or not. I think the point that Teresa was getting to is at least you can use that as some leverage to say, well, listen, you know what the policy is. Even if people ignore the policy, at least I think that gives you some leverage to say that we should do something differently. If we can put together a policy that we think that the PNB, you know, and the PNB ultimately approves it, you know, we can use that. It can be used in those situations to say, well, the PNB has approved the policy and we're not following the policy. So I don't, even though people might behave differently, I mean, obviously we should, you know, if you use that argument, then we shouldn't put any policies in place because the PNB don't write everything. So I don't see anything that precludes us if we feel, or at least the majority of us feel that a policy should be put in place. I think that it would be, you know, it would be only appropriate that we say that this is what we recommend for the PNB to adopt as a policy for the foundation.
For the record, I don't object to that. I just don't think it will solve the fundamental problem.
You don't think it's a fundamental problem?
I said it, I don't think it will solve the fundamental problem.
Oh.
That's all. I don't object to it.
Which is discipline.
Yeah, which is discipline and not doing political maneuvers that try to basically get around planning and collaborative process.
Brian here.
Sure, Brian.
Well, I think Greg's point is really well taken. And you have two problems with getting through that as a behavioral problem. One is that you have constant turnover in the board. So any best practices the board learns may be gone the next year. The other thing is that you have kind of a like a prisoner's dilemma here, an arms race. As soon as one person demonstrates that they can get special funding through by railroading it through the board in an opportune moment, the lesson learned by everyone else in the network is that's what you got to do to survive or keep your program going or what have you. I mean, on a procedural level, if you pass a policy and then the board passes something that contravenes that policy, it has to be treated as a motion to rescind. That means it needs motion, it needs notice to pass with less than two-thirds. You know, that wouldn't have done anything in this case where you had a near unanimous vote, but it does give you some actual procedural leverage to slow stuff down if it's out of left field and getting pushed through while everyone's tired and thinking about their flight home rather than the consequences of what they're voting on.
Madam Chair.
Are you through, Brian?
Yeah.
Lonnie?
Well, a practical suggestion might be to amend the financial impact statement such that it states that no motion passed at the board with financial implications can be finally approved without the sign-off of the chair of the finance committee, the ED, and the CFO. And that way, at least, the board could be protected against the emotional side of things that happen at board meetings, and that it would take at least two or three other people to sign off on any given motion. And we could, because that financial impact statement, as I recall, does require the signatures of the ED, the CFO, and we had the finance chair, we would be in a position at least to have some way to at least slow the thing down and at the same time not have to create a whole new policy. We would amend the financial impact statement to say that it has to be signed off on. If I refuse to sign, or if the chair of finance does, or the ED, then the board we could amend it to say the board has to hold over for at least 30 days before final approval. So like a cooling off period.
We have the motion, I mean the original motion. I think there, this is Lauren. May I just speak for a couple of minutes on this? I think that, I mean, one of the members of the committee actually apologized to me for moving that motion forward. And I think that, you know, as I had noticed that we need to just rescind it and that the policy, however we determine to come up to either strengthen the motion that we've already passed, I think, you know, however the committee decides, that would be fine. And
Teresa Allen.
Hi, Teresa.
Sorry, I'm in the middle of a storm. I was knocked off.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'd heard about the weather there. I think that, you know, and I think that as we talk about this, you know, I just want to caution that, you know, it's, although, you know, I know in speaking with Lonnie says, you know, other people said, okay, I'll bring my position up.
To return to the conference, press star now. Otherwise, select from the following options to mute your line. Press 1. For a list of names, press 3. To return to the conference, press star.
Thank you. You know,
options. To mute your line, press 1. For a list of names, press 3. To return to the conference, press star.
Okay, we'll do all of those. Okay,
options. To mute your line, press 1. For a list of names, press 3. To return to the conference, press star.
Yes. Where is this coming from? I don't know.
Returning to conference.
With storm related.
I think it was Dave's phone last time.
Yeah.
Storm related, perhaps?
Maybe. Well, sometimes what we do is we I'll hang up and call back in and get a better line if it continues. Well, I don't know what LeVar was going to say, but maybe a solution is not to have a process that requires the signatories of people dealing with finances such that it cannot be passed instantly, and that be a 30-day period required for review. And that would be that we already have, you know, a policy around financial impact, so this would be an addition to that policy, an additional step. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's just an idea, but I do believe that that we do need to do something. And I think Brian made the point that people are getting trained in how to do board combat to get resources for their particular program, but also for raises for themselves in their programs. That was the part that's of concern to me. People have a platform, and they many times will use it for a raise or for additional staff or without any contacts at all in terms of whether or not it's a part of an overall plan or board mission or even goals in the budget that have been established or even duplication.
Hello, I'm sorry, this is Lauren. I had a little emergency downstairs.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We're just sort of waiting for you in any event.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I think that, you know, just the caution is that as far as, you know, I don't think that we need to really demonize anyone for getting this done. It's just that, like you said, that's the way, as Greg pointed out, that's the way boards sometimes function. But I think, again, one of the people who were on the committee actually apologized personally to me for moving that motion through there. So, you know, I voted. I would like to rescind it. As Lonnie talked briefly, or said something briefly about in terms of the off-air revenue fundraising, and that one of the concepts that we're really working hard at would actually, we're looking at would produce revenue that would, if this was deemed, and it was passed as a motion by the board, but if we go into like the real plan to get this done, that this revenue raising concept, the Pacifica Peace Cruise, would actually fund that initiative. But in the going forward in the future, again, you know, the policy is there, basically in terms of the motions that we had passed. I mean, as far as tightening it up, if that's what you choose to do, that's fine. But it's there. It was like Greg said, it was just ignored, and that we have to have the discipline. So it goes back to training again. You know, when we have training, we need training on for general managers on basic policy in terms of finance policy and also on basic board procedure. You know,
Lauren,
the procedure
which, okay,
done.
You're saying that Greg said that we had the policy. Which policy?
No, I didn't basically say he had it. I said that we essentially have it, that it requires that the CF, that no motion will be passed without a financial impact statement within a two-week, one-week period. You have to come back to show where the revenue will come from and a general plan in terms of how you're going to accomplish the cost, the revenue generated from that motion.
So who's
so
going to do that?
I'm sorry? So, yeah, this should have been done. And when it was asked where would it come from, they said, oh, from listener income. And, you know, you just can't do that. I mean, that has to be a discussion with the ED and with the general managers. So this was just totally out of hand, I think, and that through this idea, this concept, I think that we will be able to fund this. And as far as Dave and what Brian was saying about, you know, we need to look at various funding initiatives to be evaluated in some type of policy perspective for any type of ongoing request for funds outside of the budget. So, I mean, these are all good ideas, too. But in this initiative, I think we do need to rescind it. It was not done correctly. It was, and that we do have a concept to actually fund the initiative this year. So that's it.
What's that concept?
It's the Peace Cruise, Pacific Peace Cruise.
I think that it's when we had the archives meeting on what day was it? Earlier this week, we had an archives meeting. The archives chair had not been notified of the notice to rescind yet. I think the meeting was Monday, and we passed a motion to rescind on Friday, Monday or Tuesday. So it was a surprise to Bonnie Simmons, and I sent her that information. Bill was on the phone to talk a little bit about it, but I think it would be to the advantage of the National Board or the Finance Committee to for somebody to call Bonnie Simmons and talk to her as chair, or maybe even sit down with Brian and Lonnie and talk about the other alternative for getting these funds.
Well, I think we talk with Lonnie. I mean, we talk with Brian about this.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Bonnie was a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I get it. What you described sounds very odd. The archives have been jerked around here. I mean, they thought they were promised funding, and now it's going away. No one's coming out of the situation happy.
Well, it's not that they're. I mean, we spoke with Brian about the concept when he was here after the meeting. So he's just not familiar with the. We probably need to get him on the next meetings that we have because he has these wonderful ideas in terms of how to do this and archives participation really great ideas just from the brief conversation that I know.
Are you talking about the cruise now?
Yes.
I mean, my concern with that would be it's a great thing to try, but it's an unproven fundraising strategy. I don't know what the business model is for it, what the return investment is on it, what the staff time commitment is to pulling it off well. Usually it's the type of thing you integrate into a major donor cultivation strategy because you are deriving more benefit from cultivating relationships through that cruise than you're actually netting on the cruise itself. So, I don't know. I would be trepidatious about relying solely on something like that to meet a very real imminent short-term need for the archives, which is to save some tape before it rots on their shelves.
The whole point is that those things are being done, Brian. People are, I mean, it's in serious discussion, and we get to a point where it can be discussed with and share it more openly, then I'm sure, hopefully, the level of comfort for everyone, not just you, will certainly be addressed.
Well, I don't know what we can do to, we certainly don't want to do this in the future, and my question is, I have two questions. Number one, is there something we need to do because some people felt, or at least they're conveying right now, that they felt it was like a done deal, that now the archives is going to have $125,000. Now it's hinging on a plan, as Brian just says, Brian Tiekert, that we're not quite sure.
Of course you're not, because you don't know about it. But the whole point is that I don't know how anyone could be sure that the stations were going to give up $25,000 of listener income. With KPFT and the other stations.
You're the board. You can take it away. No, you can't.
No, KPFT and the other stations don't have it. And WBI do not have it to give. So, there was no done deal with their motion. I mean, it was ludicrous.
And my second question is, are we all in agreement that we have a method in place to prevent this in the future? If not, does somebody need to write a resolution or what?
Well, what does one think? What is
I think we have a good policy in place. I would ask that the members of this committee who sit on the national board when something like this comes up gently remind their colleagues of that policy, kind of jump up and say, this is a great idea, let's refer it to committee so we make sure it gets worked over before we actually vote on it. Motion to commit, great way to treat last-minute, well-intentioned motions.
I'll try.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that will work. But I think the whole motion was, there's no way that BAI or T, would have, or maybe the other stations, RW would have the funds to cough up $25,000 out of listener support for archive restoration. I mean, it's not reasonable,
and it's disproportionate for the small stations.
One that brought the motion forward is on the finance committee.
No. So I think that people on the board and on local board and on the national board are working really, really hard right now to do a major off-air fundraising, and that you know, there it's in, you know, the concept and testing and all of that, as I said, is in full force right now. So, you know, the thing is that that's
who's on
that's
that
the
committee
concept.
That's working on that.
I don't know, Lonnie. Maybe Greg could help me. Greg, Lonnie.
Oh, Phil Jackson. Myself.
I'm sorry.
Rob Robinson has joined us.
Yes.
LaVarn, of course.
Yeah.
And
maybe Brian would like to join.
Patty.
Yeah.
Steve Brown and we need to invite because we, you know, we talked about this with, well, you weren't there, Lonnie, I think, but we talked about this with Brian. So I think we definitely need to get Brian on the call. And I know he would be excited about it. And he would,
I meant
be
Brian
assured.
Kiefer.
Oh, I meant Brian DeShavers.
I think we're going to have to use last names for the rest of the call.
Right. Yeah, so we definitely need to get well, you know, we can, whatever Brian would like to do, but Brian DeShavers on there, because he had, I mean, it was like he was just like throwing up ideas when it was first mentioned to him. So, you know, so your committee, Teresa, I don't know what I can say, but you know, in terms of you know, where they are, and it was a done deal, and they were going to get $25,000 from T and I. So, you know, I think that that's an issue right there in itself. So, you know, we just have to give a report and let people know. And we're already doing testing. And Steve Brown from BAI is also on it. So I believe he's actually doing like a test, like a little test market on this concept. So, and just an aside, you know, I got my little alumni cruise package, and their cruise is there. They're like advertising cruises that begin in February. So. So anyway, I think that, you know, the time and year we're pushing for, I think it's June. And I think the concept, they're looking at the model, and they've talked with, people have talked with the nation and the way the nation does their cruises, and they had said that they're running about, you know, 600 people, and this is, you know, on a cruise. So, you know, we have a national network, and the concept, just, I shouldn't say too much because this is Phil's, and I'll stop right now. But anyway, one of the things was that, you know, if we could get, you know, Amy Goodman on board for some point in time as you know, and but plus Pacifica Network and affiliates, and there are other concepts in terms of involving the affiliates, and there are some issues there because Phil had sent out a note. But the whole idea, I think, like I said, is like full force. Steve Brown is doing some like test marketing on the concept, I believe, shortly. So it's really going ahead, and I think that you know, I've never seen people work so hard and so quickly at a project like this. In fact, Phil had already done a lot of the concept and had a presentation and everything ready to go, and it was unfortunate that we could not get that into the PNB meeting when we were here at Walnut Creek. But that's it.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Just a little something. It seems a little exciting, so I'm positive, as usual.
So what? Are LaVar? Are you and I the only PNB members on this call?
What happened? The thing just messed up.
No, I think that, well, Dave is gone.
Right.
Patty's not on.
Right.
I'm still here.
Baruti.
What other PNB? We're missing the PNB member from WPFW. So my question, LaVarn, is: are we going to rescind this? And we might want to be thinking about this, because we only have two PNB members on this call. So when it comes up, I don't know whether you're going to have the votes to rescind it.
Well, I guess I can send out the. I'll send out information that, you know, there was this the vote was to get, well, whatever the scale was, 25,000 from WBAI. WBAI has currently missed its fundraising target by how much? Over $100,000. They're looking at perhaps doing some looking. They're revisiting the budget, bottom line, the funds are not there. So if you're counting on something that where there are absolutely no funds, where in the on the other side there is a group of people, PNB and board members, who are working hard to do this off-air fundraising. They're getting ready to go. This is the concept for funding, and that this will give the archives.
Well, Barn, you don't need to persuade me. The thing is.
Well, I'm trying to. This will be the argument. Let me just finish. This one other thing is that this will provide the archives with the funding that they can use to get additional grants that the national office and the board, you know, dedication for archives restoration, and they can use this as a springboard for really additional funding. But you know, I can just send out the argument if they decide not to rescind and they think they can get blood from a turnip. You know, that's on them. That's all I can say. But
we need any resolution.
But in the meantime, we'll still work to make it happen, regardless of what they do.
Do we need a resolution? Sure. Finance committee.
Sure. I'm sorry. Let me just go to who was that, Lonnie?
Yeah, Madam Chair. Do you want a sense of the Finance Committee in terms of rescission?
I'm sorry?
Did you want to take the sense of this committee around the issue of rescinding?
Yeah, why don't we do that? What do you guys think? What's the opinion?
I think we should, and I would support rescinding it, although I won't be voting at the PNB, but I do think that it's an awful lot of money, and I take the argument that it really isn't there.
It's not there.
It's not there, and we need to look at alternative ways of getting that goal done. So I think that would be my simple summation of what the issue is. The funding really isn't there, and we didn't know what we know now, that WBI has already a drive problem, and that sort of reinforces that proposition. So that would be my view at this point.
Okay. Anyone else?
I would move that the committee recommend to the PNB that it rescind that motion.
Okay. Very good. And do we have anyone else here? Baruti, are you there? Did I hear from you?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Baruti?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did I hear from you? I'm sorry. I had like a little minor emergency, so I was listening to.
Oh no! I didn't say anything.
Okay, because I actually did go off for a few minutes, for 30 seconds, but I'm back. Okay. What do you think?
I'm sorry, LeBron, were you talking to me?
Yeah. What do you think in terms of rescinding the motion?
Oh, I agree with the rescission. I mean, obviously, the financial impact statement, which is, you know, basic to me, this is an inappropriate situation, wasn't provided, and you know, being from WBAI, we can't afford. I mean, I think it's a good cause, but at this point, we can't afford the $25,000. So I support the decision to rescind.
Okay, great.
Casey,
are we there? Casey.
Sounds like we may not have quorum anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's just see how many people are here.
I'm here.
Brian, Teresa, Lonnie, Baruti.
Greg?
I'm not a member.
He's not a member.
Lonnie, a voting member?
Lonnie, yes.
I'm a voting member,
Four, five.
Well, I will certainly run this by our treasurer, Sandra Rawlein, and if I get a chance to talk to Dave anytime in the near future, I'll ask him what he thinks about it.
Okay, we started with 8, right? Or 7. We have 5. And there are 11 members?
11 members.
Yeah, that would have to be 6. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Well, if Casey isn't here, we don't have our
I'm not sure. Maybe we'll have as much done tonight as we can.
Okay. Why don't we just wrap then?
May I ask one question before we go?
I have a couple too. So please. Teresa?
Lonnie, did you want to give me the answer on the question of timesheets?
Are
we people that have not signed timesheets?
Well, you know, at WBAI, I did ask them that question. They instituted a memo and a policy at WBAI where people not signing timesheets would not get paid. I did see a copy of it. It did go out. But I think that enforcement is always an issue because of union involvement, and their argument is there's lack of cooperation around that. But you do have a new interim GM coming in, and I'm sure that he will take that up. And he's there November 6th, so it's not like it's a long time. So he will take that up as an issue. But stepping back from timesheets as a whole and the concept of timesheets, it's a tricky business, even though it looks like it's straightforward. What you have at some of these stations, and even the national office too, as a matter of fact, that people are at the station for long hours. And what happens when you institute strict timesheets, people start wanting to document the long hours they're at the station, whether they're working or not working, or whether they're working from home. And then you get into a situation where people want to document comp hours, especially during a drive, where people may be long hours on the drive. And that can create potential liability for the station and the network because people will have written it down. And managers may or may not enforce approval, pre-approval, overtime or comp time. And then there will be a dispute. So it's a tricky business, and about whether or not it's in the network's interest to institute a formal timesheet process where people working from home, people working on long hours on on-air drive, comp time issues come up. So what I plan to do is I'll ask my auditor, who's coming in a couple of weeks, how other employers handle that sort of delicate situation where you have long hours. The people that are comparable to us are nurses, people that are firemen, policemen who work these long hours. And the nightmare would be where an hourly person who works long hours doing a drive wants to be paid overtime. And they
it's their legal right, Lonnie. Fudging the time cards doesn't get you out of that obligation. It just creates more murkiness if it ever becomes a point of dispute.
You don't fudge. We're not talking about fudging time cards.
Well, you're talking about not creating a paper trail so it can't catch up to you. What you need to do is establish a clear policy that there's no authorization for working hours that would entitle you to time and a half.
Not that simple, Brian. You have exempt employees who are not covered by overtime in the first place, so you have to have different policies for them. Then you have hourly people who are, and that is true. You do have to have a separate policy for them. And anyway,
I agree with Brian, though. I think that you need to, it's just like what Greg and you were talking about earlier on the credit card, you need to get an understanding up front before a person makes a purchase. If a person is expecting to work, you know, overtime, there needs to be an understanding ahead of time. If the general managers can't afford it, then they need to say, well, we need to work on some other way rather than working somebody outrageous number of hours.
See, this is Lauren. You need to look at the laws of each state concerning overtime, comp time, and exempt versus non-exempt, and then union contract, and you're going to have to look at them separately for each state.
Yeah.
And work on it, because that's the way it works, because it depends on that union contract also.
Yeah, and it's complicated. It's not a simple...
Yes, it is.
But you need personnel policies, right?
To return to the conference, press star now. Otherwise, select from the following options to mute your line. Press 1. For a list of names, press 3. To return to the conference, press star.
Every hire letter in a personnel file should list whether or not the job that person's been hired for.
Options. To mute your line, press 1. For a list of names, press 3. To return to the conference, press star.
Boy, that's...
To mute your line, press 1. For a list of names...
Thank you. But you have to look at it individually. Look at the state, look at the contract, And higher letters, yeah, that should be what the person. But still, when you say exempt versus non-exempt versus union, you know, it still will vary. So,
the Bush Department of Labor,
right?
That's the new rule on what
right.
supervisor.
Exactly, like no one's non-exempt. Everyone's exempt. If you talk to another person,
that's the new rules, and the implications of that are going straight to court.
Yeah,
but they apply right now, and I was looking them over, saying, "Oh my God, that it really complicates this whole issue of who is and who is non-supervisor."
Yeah.
But Lonnie, let me tell you why you need timesheets.
I think that if, like I said, it has their legal implications as well, and I don't.
But
want
there's
to have
worse
a
legal
on.
Implications if you don't have them, because you don't know if you have a policy. If an employee comes up to you now and says, over the course of the past year, the responsibilities you've assigned me have required me to work 400 hours of overtime for which I have not been compensated at the legally required rate, you have to pay them.
Brian, we're looking at it not from the point of view of an employee, but from the point of view of an employer. That's
my point is, if you have timesheets, you know whether you're running into that problem as you run into it, rather than when somebody wises up to what their rights are and tries to get compensated.
I'm aware, Brian. I'm aware. I think.
All right. I'm sorry. All right. So the wrap up on this is that WBAI, they've been given these time. They've been told they have to turn in timesheets. You know, the policy is that if in order to get paid, you have to turn in a timesheet.
The other
issues that trail with this, we just have to make sure that when we look at when we look at how we can consult with on the legal the retainer that you know those issues that we look at those for each one of the stations and that right and that you know I mean it's beyond me that people are getting paid without a time card too. I mean, I just don't understand that, but whatever.
Yeah, I think we have to look at it, and the general managers on the ground or the managers of those folks have to be the ones to get trained in what they can and should be doing. That's the next step, but I think it starts with the legal tangle of is successful, that's being used now, and legally defensible. That would be the next question for our power attorney.
Okay. Are there other questions, points on this?
Well, I certainly hope that this gets addressed, because I just can't even imagine the union suggesting that you not document and that you not make a person sign a timesheet to get paid.
Timesheets aren't required legally in any state that I'm aware of. No, they're not legal documents. They're not required. But like I say, there are a lot of legal questions, and I think the first step is to see what the legal parameters are on that whole issue. And we'll see what corporate attorney has to say.
Okay, great. Would you get back with us on that?
Yeah.
Okay, and I have a question also. This is on... we were talking about the fund drive, so would like to know what is the status on the mail drops out of the national office.
I think the mail drop hit, first part of it hit September 15th, and so we've been in the mailbox.
That's 06. We're in 07. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You were asking about 06?
I apologize. No, I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was the last mail drop. We're in that mail drop now. It costs $244, and we raised about $150,000 so far. So we expect to recoup costs and make dollars. So we will do well.
Do you have those spreadsheets that you did for the plan? Can you just update those and send those to us?
Yeah, I did. I've got the YTD on that.
Okay.
Where we stand as of October 21st, I have that.
Okay, so if you could send that out. Send it to the committee. That would be great.
Are these the KPFT ones? Does this have to do with the KPFT letter drop?
Yeah, this is mostly it's an acquisition list that we sent out.
Four fifths acquisition, and then a little bit of of our list, and it's running ahead of where we usually run it at the moment. I mean, it's $150,000 approximately in the first month.
It's an election year, and people are happy to do whatever they can to see a change in the country.
Okay. And the other thing, just for new business, would like to really have everyone think about, we talked about investment options, and we really need to get serious about that. Would like to try to get something set up. Maybe we can look at some type of structure and just form a little working group to see what are our options on an investment strategy for the stations that do have cash reserves that are not being, of course, you know, we're, well, everyone knows what the economy is like in terms of the Dow, but the NASDAQ is still lingering, it's still at about 50%. So we really need to get a little working group going. So anyone who's interested, can I just ask Lonnie if you could call Lonnie and, sometime, you know, next month or toward December when things are not real busy, really kind of get moving on that?
Yeah, December is better for me, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very much interested in preserving those assets.
Okay.
Can I get on to Zach LaVarne, please?
Sure.
Yes, I also wanted to suggest a possible working group for the committee to consider around the whole general ledger, chart of accounts, slash definition of what should be in an account.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's something that, you know, we've been very interested for at our station so that we can, you know that things are being posted right, you know, the whole uniformity across station budgets and so forth. So I guess I'm sort of volunteering to be a part of that. So, or unless Lonnie says that that's something that they can do internally and can provide us, but I'm willing to participate in that in some form or fashion.
Yeah, that actually we are. We're moving ahead with it. We haven't forgotten about that chart of accounts issue. And that's part of the training. So I would say what, we've put you in touch with Ben Garcia, and because he'll work, he's revamping those charts of accounts. So give me a call, Rudy, and we'll get you working with him on what the needs at WPAI would be, and
okay.
Also how we're trying to regularize it across stations.
Okay.
So is this still an issue with the new general ledger with Great Plains 9? I mean, don't you roll out the same general ledger for the whole nation?
Over the years, stations have come up with their specialized needs in terms of accounts. So some stations want to keep some of their specialized accounts. They don't want to have to use accounts that really don't fit their needs. And, yeah, we're in the middle of the process of doing that process right now. We're the upgrader. We're doing the training on it. So we're doing it all at once. And it'll take 2 or 3 months, but it's going. We're taking care of the. We want to make sure the migration is the data has come over, and it's the new software is working. We are also setting in another third backup system because we're not going to count just one backup system at Pier 1. So we're establishing a backup system on site as well. I mentioned we're doing training on the new software. We want to make sure that people not only are trained on the software but are using it properly for close. And we have to get the close for the month. We want to make sure they can close. Are closing properly. Now, we haven't had the first month. It's not even a month of use yet. So we're trying to get those things done. And then month two, we're going to start looking at revamping accounts where we need to, and we're having to work with each station on what accounts they specifically feel are critical. It may or may not be the same for other stations. So it's a slow process. But we haven't forgotten it.
Mm-hmm. So Baruti, are you?
No, Baruti can work directly with Ben and see what he's doing in terms of WBEI, but because WBEI is the one that has special needs in some ways in terms of how they handle those accounts. They're all the same for some core accounts, but over the years at Pacifica, people have developed specialized accounts that other stations haven't adopted because they don't need them.
Right. I mean, I've seen the chart of accounts for our station, but like I said, there's no explanation. It's just a listing of account numbers and account names. And to me, we need a little more than that. We need what gets posted to an account so that we know that things are in the right place.
that Indra can really add how she uses those accounts with those labels. So I think that can be done. They're the ones making the entries in those accounts. So
Right. Just on the whole issue of major donors. I mean, what is a major donor at BAI? Obviously, is not what's being a major donor at KPFA or another station. So, just using that as an example, we need to have.
Are using major donor in one way. BAI is the exception. That's been an issue. Their definition of major donor is not policy. Other stations are not doing it that way because the policy is clear and it's written.
There is a written policy on major donors.
Yeah, certainly is.
Oh, okay. All right. Can I get that? Can I get a cut when you get a chance, Lonnie? Could you send that
sure.
to me, please?
Yeah, okay. I'll make a note right now.
Thank you.
Okay, so another question on the new software. So does the new software allow you to allocate the expenses into the major budgets, admin, programming?
That's a different module. You know those accounting packages, they have this distribution module
mm-hmm.
with distributed costs to handle.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not get that module. It's an extra $2,500. But we do it by hand with the auditor now. That is
right,
within the accounting package.
Mm-hmm.
And the auditor is one of the things the auditor works does with us. Make those allocations. And they do it on a spreadsheet. And then that's an audit. That's part of what the auditors do. They take all of the GO accounts and put them in audit categories, which is required by the funders, as you know.
Right, exactly.
So that's part of the, but no, we don't have that extra distributed cost module that some accounting packages have.
Are there other questions, points? Okay, we have a couple of action items here. I think one thing, Lonnie's going to send out the updated mail drop spreadsheet through October 21st. We have some...
A quick question on that.
Sure.
Lonnie, do you have any kind of memo of understanding with stations you're doing with DropSend that outlines the responsibilities and the breakdown of sharing costs and revenues for the mailings?
No. All we agreed is the use of the mailing list in exchange for a fixed sum. That's sort of what we have.
For a fixed sum, regardless of whether or not the mailing that's more than that sum?
Yeah, we did some rough numbers. You know, first take WBI, for example.
I don't want you to get into the details. I think we're all tired. But I guess what I'd like, because I've had trouble on these calls understanding the concepts of the mailing, and I don't think more explaining is going to do much for me the way I'm feeling right now,
give me a buck.
Would be some kind of clear-cut memo of understanding, outlining what the responsibilities are on any joint fundraising effort so that we have a clear idea when we're looking at them in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, is it a percentage split of revenues? Is it a fixed amount?
Maybe do a little working group on it.
Okay, on the...
This is my list. My dance ticket is getting pretty full, folks, on this call. please give me a break.
So you're saying perhaps a working group on the mail drops. Okay. The other thing was on the.
No, I don't. I don't want a working group. I just.
I'm just asking
for supporting documentation when you get around to generating it. A memo of understanding between national and local stations whenever they engage on a joint fundraising venture.
Okay. Well,
we've asked for that. We want, the distribution,
no,
whether it's done by... No, there's no memo. We want to determine, how it should be... What is the distribution? Is it by the area, zip code? We'd like to know. We'd like to know what the facts
costs,
are.
Costs, revenues, and responsibilities.
Absolutely. We've talked about that many times. So in terms of priority line, you can decide, but we would like to see that.